anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me.
Lord, we thank you and praise you today, Lord. We give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we ask you to bless us even now as we go into your word. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word today, that you would encourage us, that you would speak to our hearts and speak to our minds. Lord, we can't do nothing without you. It's not about me, it's about you, Lord. Lord, have your way in this place. Have your way in us today, Lord. Help us to have an ear that hears today, a heart that hears today, Lord. A will that conforms to your will, a mind that's transformed by you. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, it's not about me, Lord, but let you have your perfect will, your perfect way in this place, even at this time that we come before you to hear what thus saith the Lord. Bless your people today, Lord. Like only you can. You're great. You're awesome. You're mighty. You're faithful. You're dependable. Thank you, Jesus. You're all the things that man is not. That's why we put all our trust, all our hope, and all our love in you. Because you loved us so much that you gave your life for us. And for that, we'll be forever grateful. Thank you for your mercy today. Thank you for your forgiveness today. Thank you for your grace today. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know, Brother Fred, maybe you can relate to this, but, you know, we've been preaching a long time, but I still get nervous when you get up here. So sometimes, you know, I know you get sick of hearing me sing sometimes, but it ain't really for you anyway, it's for me. Amen. It helps me get the jitters out a little bit and helps me get my focus where it needs to be. Amen. We give honor to all that honor is due. We thank God for all of you, God's people. You know, despite everything that's going on, not only in the world, but even with our church and different things like that, God is still good. Amen? God is great and greatly to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's faithful. He's worthy of our praise. Matter of fact, we can't praise him enough for all that he's done for us. Amen? I got the feeling today was almost like I'm preaching a funeral. It's just a feeling that I got. But this ain't a funeral. Amen. God continues to do great things. And you know what? Sometimes We don't understand. We don't know why we question and how could this be. And Lord, why would you put us in this situation? Why would you put us in this place? But you know what? Sometimes you just got to follow. Sometimes you just got to follow in. And I'm not talking about follow man. I'm talking about follow God. Amen. Sometimes you just got to stay the course and see what in fact the Lord has in store, not only for you, but for us. Amen. Because one thing I know, he won't fail us. Amen. He keeps on doing great things in spite of us sometimes. Amen. He keeps on doing great things. Let's go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is a familiar psalm, mainly for the first 4 or 5 verses in the psalm. A lot of us, some of us claim those verses as our favorite scripture. A lot of us claim those verses as our go-to verses. But we're going to read Psalm 27 with a key today on the last 2 verses of the psalm. Amen? But let's start from the beginning. If you got it, say amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. This is what he does for me and for you. Amen. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to who? Unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. We all want the Lord to hear us when we cry. Amen. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Amen. How many need the Lord? Amen. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Amen. Because of my enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. But these last 2 verses is what I want to focus on after all that wonderful scripture we just read. This is David penning this psalm. Amen? And in the last two verses, he said, I had fainted. In other words, I had given up. I had thrown in the towel. I had said it's not worth it. I had said I can't go any further. I had said there's nothing to I had fainted unless. Look at somebody and say, unless. I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So in other words, I would have fainted had I not believed, but I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. We've read, and you're hearing the entire 27th Psalm. And here we have David. What do you think about when you hear David's name? What comes to mind when you think about David? Huh? Shepherd, right? Remember, David was the one that was chosen. He wasn't the one that said, hey, pick me, pick me. No, he was the one that was minding his business in the field. The one that everyone else looked at him and said, no, it can't be him. No, it can't be him. He was the one that was chosen, right? He was the shepherd. What else? Huh? Guitar. Why? Because David was a praiser. Amen? Many of the songs that we sing today, many of the songs that we praise God with come from the Psalms. Amen? David is a praiser. David loves to play that guitar. He loves to play the stringed instruments. He loves to play the drums, everything that anything you can do to give God praise. That's who he is. He's a praiser. Amen? But guess what? Even David got discouraged sometimes. Amen? Even David doubted sometimes. Even David thought about giving up at one time or another. The praiser. The one that said, you know, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Even David. Amen? So, you know, I preach based on my experiences. That's just how God deals with me. Amen? And I know I'm a big believer in being careful about what you allow to come into your gates. You know what I mean by that? To come into your, you know, your thought process. To come into, you know, like, I'm a big believer on the people that you hang around, the things that you listen to on a regular basis, the things that you put before your eyesight, the things you watch on a regular basis. All those things have an effect on you, either positively or negatively. Amen? I'm a believer in that. So yes, I am a believer in making sure that we are listening to the right things, because if we're listening to the right things, it'll help our thought process. But I'm also a lover of music. Amen? So while I tend to listen to as much gospel music as I can, every now and then I need a switch. It's just me, I'm sorry. Amen? Every now and then I need to hear, you know, still something good, but every now and then I just need a... So sometimes instead of playing the CDs, I'll let the radio play. Amen? And I'll listen to what's on the radio. And God is such a good God. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been through a lot in the last few years. Amen? And there was many times when I got to the point that maybe David got to, amen, where he, you know, he got to the point where he thought about giving up. Amen? Well, one day recently, I was in that mode where I said, okay, I just want to listen to the radio for a little bit. And I heard a song. And this is a secular song, but I want to play it for you because it blessed my heart. It gave me some strength to go on. So let me just, I just want to play it for you, if you don't mind, just so you can understand where I'm coming from.
It's like the walls are caving in.
Listen to the words.
Sometimes I feel like giving up, but I just can't. It isn't in my blood. Laying on the bathroom floor, feeling nothing. I'm overwhelmed and insecure. Give me something I could take to ease my mind slowly. Just have a drink and you'll feel better. Just take her home and you'll feel better. Keep telling me that it gets better. Does it ever? Help me. It's like the walls are caving in. Sometimes I feel like giving up. No medicine is strong enough. Someone help me. I'm crawling in my skin. Sometimes I feel like giving up, but I just can't.
Amen. And I just thought about it, and I'm like, you know, there's been times when I felt like giving up, but it isn't in my blood. And it's not in my blood because of who I'm made of or what or anything about me or my strength or anything, but it isn't in my blood because I got Jesus in my heart. And when you have Jesus in your heart, it isn't in your blood to give up. There's many times when you feel like you want to. And in all of us, I think, in, you know, more of us than we want to admit, could relate to what was being said in that song. Amen? Felt like the walls were caving in.
amen, felt like, you know, everyone says, well, just take this and you'll feel better, or just have some of this and you'll feel better, or just do this and you'll feel better, and you never feel better, do you? Amen. You know, we've tried this and we've tried that, and we've said, okay, let me ease the pain by doing this or by doing that, but at the end of the day, when you're done doing whatever you're doing, the pain is still there. Amen? Only Jesus, only Jesus can take away that pain. Only Jesus can help you go a little further. Only Jesus can keep you from giving up when you feel like you've done all that you could do. Amen? Even the Bible says when you've done all to stand, do what? Stand. That's all you can do. Amen? Sometimes we don't have the answers. We don't understand why. We've done everything that we can possibly do, and it's just we're still in the situation, or we're still dealing with the things, and all you can do is stand and trust him. Why? Because in spite of what's going on in your life, in spite of what's going on, you know, in your situation, God has never failed you yet. He's the only one that hasn't failed you. He's the only one that you can depend on. He's the only one that's faithful. You all know, most of y'all know this story of Job, right? Job, it says he was a man whose name was Job, a man that was perfect and upright, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. He was a good man, Job. And as the story goes, Satan had a conversation with the Lord about Job. And Satan basically told, I'm paraphrasing, but Satan basically told the Lord that if you let me get to him, he will curse you. Amen? He will give up if you let me get to him. And you know what the Lord said? The Lord said, you can do as you please, just don't kill him. Amen? And as the story goes, Job, an upright man, a good man, who's minding his business, living the best life that he could be, he could live, got everything taken away from him. He lost all his cattle. He lost his family. He lost everything that he owned. And guess what? It wasn't because he did anything wrong. Amen? Lost it all. I mean, lost it all. And then on top of losing all of his possessions, all the things that he had, that he lived by, Satan touched his body, put sores all over his body. He had big sores all over his body that he could you imagine? Not only did you lose everything you have, but now your body's being attacked as well. And in the process, people do what people do. In the process, his friends looked at him and said, you must have done something wrong. You must have sinned. Look at this. Look at all these things that are happening to you. So all of his so-called friends that he had when everything was going well, when things started to go bad, they turned on him and said, you must have sinned. This is something you did. And Job was just an innocent bystander. Amen? His own wife got to the point where she said, just curse God and die. Amen? So imagine Job was at a place. But in verse 13 and 15, Job said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Amen? Job. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. So we know the Lord wasn't slaying him, Satan was, but we see here that the Lord was right about Job. Because with all that he went through, Job said, but I will maintain my own ways before him. I will keep on doing what I know to do. And because of that, I don't know, I don't believe God bets, but if there was a bet between Satan and the Lord, Satan lost that one. Amen? Because Job did not do what Satan said he would do, and because of that, God gave Job back everything and more. Amen? He recovered everything and more because he trusted instead of giving up. 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, talks about a time in David's life. We talked about David. He's the praiser, right? David, there was a time in David's life when he was being chased down by Saul and all the people with him. They wanted to kill him. He was on the run. David and his troops were on the run because they were after him and wanted to kill him. And again, like people do, during this time, the people that were running with David turned on him and talked about stoning him themselves. His own crew talked about stoning him. And in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, we find where David gets in his nadir experience. You know what a nadir experience is? It's your lowest point. Call it what you will, your wit's end. Whatever you want to call it, it's your lowest point. It's to the point where you're on your back. You can't do nothing but look up. Amen? You got no more answers. You got no more resources. You can't figure it out anymore. You've gotten to your lowest point. That's where David was. And what you do when you get to your lowest point will determine where you go from there. Let me say that again. What you do when you get to your lowest point will determine where you go from there. So here's David at his lowest point. It says David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But this is what David did at his lowest point. David encouraged himself. How? In the Lord his God. Huh? Look. We all look for encouragement from this one or for that one. We all look for someone to say something good to me, do something that will encourage me. But sometimes you get to the point in life where you need to encourage yourself. Amen? Encourage yourself. How? In the Lord. And in the 8th verse it says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? In other words, when David was at his lowest point, he didn't give up. You know why he didn't give up? Because it wasn't in his blood. Amen? It wasn't in his blood to give up. And when he got to his lowest point, he sought the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and he said, what shall I do, Lord? Where should I go? I don't have no more friends to call up on the phone. I don't have anybody else to ask. All I got is you, Lord. What shall I do? Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue. So at his lowest point, He encouraged himself in the Lord. Then he sought the Lord for instruction. And then he listened to the Lord when he got the instruction. And then he walked in the instruction that the Lord gave him. How many know that that is a recipe for success? Amen? First, don't call Josie, don't call whoever. Talk to the Lord, the one that can do something about it. You might have to encourage your own self in the Lord. And then you ask the Lord, Lord, what shall I do at this point in my life? All of us are at different points in our lives. We're all facing different situations, different circumstances. But we say, Lord, what shall I do? And then listen. See, we like to ask the question, but we don't stay around to listen for the answer. Amen? That's like me going to Fred and say, hey, Fred, I got this situation. You know, what should I do here? And Fred gets ready to answer me, and I walk away, and I go somewhere, and Fred's like, you know, you asked me a question. I got something I can, but I didn't stick around long enough to hear the answer. Or maybe I did stick around long enough, and I didn't like Fred's answer. Because that happens too. We seek the Lord. I need help. Don't you see me down here? What are you doing? I've been going through this. Don't you hear me? And then he says what he wants to say to us. And we say, that's not what I was looking for. It's not what I wanted to hear. That's not what I wanted to do. I want to do it this way. Then why'd you ask him? Right? Isn't it much like parenting? He's our father, isn't he? So many times our kids come to us and say, what should I do? We tell them what to do, and they don't want to do that. They want to do what they want to do. Then why'd you ask me if you're not going to listen? So he inquired of the Lord, Lord, shall I pursue? He's at his lowest point. He has no confidence. He's thinking, I'm nothing, I can't do nothing. I'm at my lowest point, but he says, Lord, what shall I do? And the Lord says, pursue. Keep moving forward. Keep going. Don't stay here and wallow in your guilt. Don't stay here and feel sorry for yourself. Don't stay here and give up. He says, keep it moving. And David did just what the Lord told him to do, and guess what? Just like Job, he recovered all, and he conquered in the end, and he won because he asked for help, he listened to the help, and then he walked in the instruction. And anytime we ask God for help, listen to what he has for us to do and walk in it, you will do nothing but succeed. And you say, well, that's Job, that's David. But what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Isn't he our perfect example? Isn't he the one that we should follow after, that we should go by? Well, even Jesus, in the midst of the plan that God had for him to go to the cross to give his life for us, even Jesus in Matthew 26, 38 and 39 says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You see, God, even Jesus felt sorrow. Even Jesus felt what it was like to be at your wit's end, to be at that lowest point. Even Jesus felt like that. So that's why we can't say that nobody knows what I'm going through. That's why we can't say to the Lord, you don't know what, you know, how I feel. You don't know what I... Yes, he does know. He experienced sorrow just like you and me. He experienced suffering just like you and me. There's nothing that you've been through that he hasn't felt. He's felt everything that you felt and more. Don't tell God that you don't know what I'm going. Yes, he does. He said my soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He said, wait here and watch with me. And then in the 39th verse, he says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Didn't he say it? Even Jesus gets to that, got to that point, but it wasn't in his blood to give up. It wasn't in his blood to not carry out God's will. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But then he quickly said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Amen. And thank God that he had the determination to go on, because in Isaiah 53, we read, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we hid as it our faces from him, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But guess what? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Come on, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He carried out the will of God. He went to the cross. He experienced sorrowful. He experienced suffering. He went to the cross. They beat him till he was unrecognizable. He did it just for you and just for me. So you're talking about giving up? You're talking about saying, what are you doing to us, Lord? Why are we going through this? Why is this happening to us? I'm tired now. I don't feel if I can go any further with this. I might just, you know, do something different. You're talking about giving up? It isn't in your blood. Because when you accept Jesus in your life, you got a new blood. You got a new spirit. That's why you can't sin comfortably anymore. Because it's not, because he made you from the inside out. Amen. The blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross is now the blood that we celebrate every first Sunday at the Lord's table. That's why we should never go through the motions and just act like it's another thing we do, because he gave his life for us. That when we get to our nadir experience, when we get to our lowest points, when we get to the point where we don't have any more answers and we don't know what to do, we can call on him. And he can give us direction. All of us. I don't know about you. I've even gotten to the point, and I'm almost ashamed to say this, but I've even gotten to the point where I've tried to figure out how I could end my life without it hurting too much. Amen? I've gotten to the point where I said, I don't think I can do it anymore. I've gotten to the point where I was just ready to give up. And I want to let you know, there's more people that have been to that point than you believe. There's people that you see all the time, dressed up with a smile on their face, that have had those thoughts, that have been to that point. There's a lot of people that are suffering. There's a lot of people that are having a hard time. There's a lot of people that are going through things in their mind. That's why our mind needs to be stayed on Jesus, so he can keep us in perfect peace. That's why when the enemy tries to come in like a flood and tries to tell you that it's over and tries to tell you that you're not this, that you can't do this, and he tries to tell you all the lies that he tells you, it's important that you lift up a standard against him and stand on the word in God and say, no, I am saved. I am an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do this not because of me, but because of him. God is able to bring you out of any situation you're in. He's able to take you from here to there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How do we do it? You know, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. By the renewing, how do we renew our mind? By reading the word, by standing on the word, by trusting the word, by when you get in those situations when real life is happening in you, will you try it? Will you trust him? Will you get to the point where you just say, Lord, I don't know what to do right now. I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I'm just going to trust you and watch. Have you ever done that in your life where you said, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to work this out, but Lord, right now, I'm just going to blindly trust you. It's almost like, you know, you close your eyes and you're like, okay, here I go, and then you come over here and I'm like, okay, I'm still standing. All right. We're still going. Amen. What are you going to do when you're at your lowest point? What are you going to do when trouble comes in your life? Because the Bible tells us that we are but a few days and full of trouble. If you think you're going to avoid trouble, you're in for a rude awakening. Trouble is life. Amen? Somebody said, if I'm not in a situation right now, I just left one and I'm heading towards another. That's just life. Every day, every week, we're going to have things that try us. Every week, we're going to go through some things that challenge us. Every week, every day, we're going to have hard things happen to us in life. That's what this life is. That's why we weren't meant to stay here. Amen? We're just passing through. Thank you, Jesus. But in our passing through, we got to stick with Jesus. We got to hold on to his hand. You know how a young person holds on to an older person? You know, they hold on for dear life, like, don't let me go. That's how we got to hold on to Jesus. Amen. And sometimes your hand slips and you're only holding on to a finger. But hold on to a finger. Don't let it go. Amen. Don't let him go. Because if you hang in there, if you stick with him, if you stay with him, if you trust him, if you listen when you ask for help, and you follow in the instruction that he gives you, in the end, I can tell you, not because I'm a prophet, but because of what I read in the word, you win. You win. In the end, we win. In the end, we end up with him. Amen? So we just got to get through it. We win, but there's a lot to get through in the meantime. Amen? So maybe someone today has had thoughts of giving up. Maybe someone today has got to the point where you're at your wit's end. You don't know what else to do. You've done all that you think you know to do. I want to let you know that if you have Christ in your life, it isn't in your blood to give up. We talked about it a while in one of my sermons, I don't know how long ago, but you're the one in the ring fighting. You can't throw in the towel. Have you ever seen a fight where the fighter throws in the towel? Can't do that because he's too busy fighting. So you talk about, I'm just going to throw in the towel. You don't have a towel to throw in. Amen? You got to keep fighting until somebody rings the bell. Amen? You got to keep fighting. And some days it's easier than others, and some days you need somebody to fight for you. That's all right. That's all right. Just keep fighting. Because not every day is going to be full of sorrow. Not every day is going to be bad. Not every day is going to be challenging. We have some good days too. The songwriter said, I've had some good days and I've had some bad days, but my good days far outweigh my bad days. Amen? See, we like to focus on the bad days. We like to focus on everything that's happened in our lives, and we miss all this other stuff all these blessings around us. We miss it. We're not even looking at it because we're too focused on the bad, on the challenge. I was talking to somebody yesterday about when David was walking on the water. You know, he saw Jesus Peter. He saw Jesus walking on the water. And he's like, wow, you're walking on the water. Let me walk on the water, right? He's all excited. Let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out there and he started walking on the water. And then he did something. He took his eyes off of Jesus because the weather started to get he got a little scared. He got a little, you know, sometimes things, it gets a little tough in our lives and we get a little scared and we take our eyes off of Jesus. And that's what Peter did. And as soon as he looked down, he started to sink. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on water just like Jesus was. As soon as he took his eyes off him, he began to sink. That's our life. That's our life. You keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You keep your eyes focused on God. You will continue to go in the direction. You take your eyes off of him. You start putting it on other things and start focusing on other things, and you will start sinking. You been there? I have. As long as your eyes are focused on Jesus, as long as you have an ear that will hear, as long as you have a heart that will listen, as long as you will be obedient to what he says for you to do, you can walk through anything. You can get through anything. You can get up here when Sister Paulette, you know, says, do we have any testimonies? We can get to the point where we can only take four today. I know all of y'all want to testify, but we can only take four. But if we get obedient and start doing what the Lord will have us to do, all of us will be wanting to jump up there and say, wait, let me tell you something that the Lord did for me. I wonder sometimes when we don't have any testimonies if we've been listening to what he's been saying to us. I know some of us are shy and we just don't like to get up here, and that's fine. But the way the Lord deals with us, it's one of those things, you can't keep it to yourself. God is so good, keeps on doing great things. You can't keep it to yourself. In greater love, let me just tell you this. I know we've been through a lot, and it hurts my heart. It really does. That as a congregation, we've been through some of the things we've been through. But this one thing I know, with the Lord on our side, we can make it. Whatever is to happen, whatever is to be, we got to keep following Jesus. We got to keep following God. We got to ask him for direction. We got to ask him for help. And then we got to be ready to listen. And then we got to be willing to be obedient. In the name of Jesus, let us stand. I don't know if there's one here today that has not yet given their life to Christ, that has not yet accepted the invitation that is available to you through